I'm Conor Phillips. You're listening to Radio City Talk. We're here this evening until 7 o'clock, coming up after 6 o'clock this evening. I'm going to be joined by Charlie Morgan, who's the rugby journalist at The Telegraph, to talk about the start of the party as the Lions went down under. Not quite. Didn't go to plan, but we'll talk about that after 6 o'clock on the show. But let's head over to tennis, as the French Open is right on. Andy Murray has done okay. A bit of a stutter at the start. And I'm joined by Rob Koenig, who is the tennis commentator and a tennis commentator across the ATP Tour, live from South Africa, I believe. First of all, Rob, thank you very much for coming on this evening.
Conor, thanks for having me on your show. Very much looking forward to talking all news tennis.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day in the Murray household, if you're one of his party, because he dispatched Karen Khachanov quite easily, 6-3, 6-4, 6-4. From an ATP Tour perspective, is he doing exactly what you expected him to do?
Well, I think Andy would be delighted to come through the draw that he's come. You know, Conor, when you aren't playing the best tennis, it's amazing how tough draws can follow you around. And ever since Andy lost in Australia, that's what's been happening. So I think he's done remarkably well. He didn't play particularly well on the clay going into the French Open. So to get through to this stage with not too much damage being done physically, I think he's in a good space mentally. It seems to have helped that Ivan Lendl is on board this last 10 days. He wasn't around much. Jamie Delgado has been, steering the ship. But it just seems these great players have this incredible ability just to fine-tune and hone their skills when the biggest events come around.
How was Murray able to do this when he used Lendl, then stopped using Lendl, then he sort of sashayed to the left and used a few different coaches? Like you said, Delgado's been in, giving him a hand as well. Now Lendl's back. Is Murray just a single-minded character? He just needs the occasional tweak, or is he in need of a full-time coach?
I think Andy is the kind of player who likes a full-time coach. He loves bouncing ideas around. He's quite a social individual as well. He's got a big team that follows him around. You know, we speak of one coach, as in Jamie Delgado, as the tennis coach. But, of course, you've got Matt Little there, who plays a very important role. Mark Bender, who's his physio, who's keeping him in one piece. I think he likes that social environment. And Andy's a very different kettle of fish to what you see, the image he portrays on the court. He's a highly intelligent guy, and he's always questioning and bouncing ideas off everybody around his team, and he's always challenging them when they're making statements. So I think it's imperative that he has these guys around him. I think Jamie Delgado doesn't get enough credit. You know, when things were going so swimmingly last year, and he's quick to remind everybody what an incredible support that Jamie has been throughout those good times, when Lendl wasn't around that much and they were still successful as a team. But I think, again, with Lendl, you've got somebody that you can bring in, and it just brings a different perspective. And I think Murray likes that. I don't think he needs it 24/7 from Lendl, but I think he does like the bits and pieces. I think Lendl's quite an intense individual, and I think to have him around on a permanent basis would probably be a bit overbearing.
Tell me about Nishikori through to face Murray. Vavrenka advances as well. Nishikori's going to be, he's going to be a battler. He's a scrapper. And I love that term when you're talking about someone in sport, this scrap, because it's really, it's like, it's onomatopoeic. It kind of just fills you up with exactly what type of player they are. Tell me about how big an opponent he's going to be to Murray.
Nishikori, I don't think he can match Murray physically. I think where it does even itself out is the surface. I think it's a little bit more natural for Nishikori to play on the clay than what it is for Andy. You know, it was only up until about 18, 20 months ago that Andy really started becoming familiar on the surface, whereas Nishikori, he's been a lot more familiar on the clay for a lot longer. So I think that takes away somewhat of the physicality. I think it's massively important for Nishikori to win the first set against Andy, because we know historically, he's always the kind of guy who suffers injuries when he is down and out and he's got a niggle here or there. Nishikori, you know, he's quick to pull the pin. So I think the first set is going to be crucial in that matchup for Murray to assert his physical ascendancy over Nishikori. And Nishikori, similarly, to say to Andy, listen, buddy, you're playing me on a surface that I prefer to you. And if I go up one set to love against you, I'm going to be inside your head.
Yeah, I think that the way in which Nishikori plays will and can get under Andy Murray's skin. It's quite a weird one. He was beaten in the first set, 6-love, when he finally overcame his rival later on, or earlier on today, I should say. What's that? Like, that's a really, really strange event for a tennis player to lose 6-love and then come back and bounce back.
It is. I mean, Fernando Verasco is one of these shot makers. When he's on, he's incredible. He's a guy, for me, who hasn't fulfilled his potential, and I think he should have been an annual top 10 player year in, year out, Verasco. But you know what the good players, Connor, they don't panic. They realize you've got to win 3 sets out of 5, not one. So just because you've got hot for half an hour, these guys are very good at just wiping the slate clean. You've got to have selective memory as a top pro, and that's what they do. They forget about it. Sometimes it's actually easier when you've lost a set 6-love because you've had no play in the set. You often speak to top tennis players, and they'll tell you to lose a set 7-6 when perhaps you've had a set point or two. The hangover is a lot worse because you're thinking about, what if I've spent an hour invested in the set and I've got nothing to show for it? Whereas sometimes you lose a set 6-love and it's done and dusted in 20 minutes. It's easier to move on from. And that's exactly what Nishikori was able to do. Bounce back strong, started the second well, got up a break early in the second. And the third was always going to be massively important. Once Verasco lost that third set, again, he's the kind of player who can check out. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why the deciding set was so convincing to Nishikori. 6-love in the end.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm Connor Phillips. This is Full Time. I'm joined by Rob Koenig, who's a tennis commentator across the ATP Tour, keeping a tight eye on all things in the French Open as we speak, live from South Africa as we speak. So thank you once again for taking this call. Let's head over to the women's side of the draw. Simona Halep looks like she means business, doesn't she?
Without a doubt, the favourite. I think she's done so well to get rid of those problems she had in Rotterdam with the ankle, where she twisted the ankle there in the finals. And Connor, there were so many doubts. Everybody was wondering, is she going to be able to play in the French Open? You know, there's about that week period that you have between the end of Rome and the start of Roland Garros. They gave her a late start to give her as much time as possible to recoup from the ankle injury. And I think the fact that she'd be able to get through the first couple of rounds and not really be tested, that's been the big thing for her, because I thought that's when she would be the most susceptible. The movement wouldn't be too confident on the clay, given that the ankle was injured. But I think now that she's got to this stage, made it through to the quarterfinals, and against Carlos Suarez Nevada, she really opened up a can of whoop-ass there, 1-1. And she is the player to beat. She's the form horse coming into the tournament. She's been at the tail end of this tournament before. Clay is her favourite surface, and the likes of Sharapova and Serena Williams out of the mix. I always ask this question. If it was all your money, who would you put it on? And if I was asked that question, it would be on her.
I've heard a bit, though. I've heard a little bit of a rumbling about, Svitolina? I'm hearing that she has got something. She's got energy. She's got real power, and she doesn't mind that she's not a big, well-known face and voice in tennis. She just powers through.
Well, she is top 10 in the world, so she's doing a lot of things right. And whoever's giving you your voices in your ear knows a thing or two about tennis, because she is a proper player. Make no bones about that fact. In fact, there was a nice UK connection there for many years. Ian Hughes, who was a GB boy, was her coach for many years until they split up at the tail end of last year. But you're right. She's got plenty of spunk. My big concern is that it's one thing playing in the quarters and semifinals of a major. It's a completely different scenario playing in your first major. You know, Connor, one of the toughest things in our sport is to win a major at the first time of asking, when you make it into a final. And I think that's the thing that counts against somebody like Svitolina. I mean, you know, we're just speaking about Andy Murray a couple of minutes ago, and we saw how many cracks Andy needed it before he got across the finishing line. And it takes somebody special with a special mindset to be able to do that. And is Svitolina ready to do it? She's probably, you know, if you have a look at everybody else in the draw, she's probably more ready than most. But whether she could beat Halep in a final, again, if I was betting all my money, I would bet against her, and I'd bet for Halep.
Oh, so you've answered my final question. That's the lady side of the draw. You think Halep's going to walk away with this French Open. Call it for me from my man's perspective. Is it Nadal's to lose, or has Andy finally got to grips with the clay? Because it always takes him a little while at the start of the season.
Yes, you know, I think for me the big matchup for Nadal, given how well he's playing, is to play Djokovic in the semis. Djokovic has got to deal with Dominic Thiem, who's been the second most productive player on clay, without a doubt. If Djokovic can get through Thiem without expending too much energy, the psychological matchup between Nadal and Djokovic has been so one-sided over the last 3 or 4 years. Djokovic has had his number, but we know Djokovic has been going through some personal issues. His game is not where it is. But tennis is so much about matchups, and I think the psychology in that match would be fascinating. For me, if there's one player that can still beat Nadal, it'll be Djokovic, but he's got to get through Dominic Thiem first. But again, I like Rafa, and I like Halep in the woman to go all the way.
So that's it, Rafa and Halep. Let me see. I'm just filling in my betting coupon as we speak here because...
good man. Make sure I get a cut of that, please, Connor.
Absolutely. I'll send it over in your direction. Listen, if you want to follow Rob and all that he does, it is Rob Koenig Tennis. We're going to tweet about it now at Radio City Talk. It's good to have an insight from like almost an international perspective. Percentage-wise, if Nadal doesn't pick up this title, percentage-wise, how likely would it be that Andy Murray could pick it up?
I would say, in percentage terms, probably about 55%, 60% that he could do it. The fact that he's been there and won majors before gives him a good psychological advantage. But I tell you, there's some good players in that section of the draw with Thiem, Nadal, and Djokovic. I have to think that the winner is coming from one of those guys over Murray.
Brilliant. Listen, Rob Koenig, who is a tennis commentator for the ATP Tour, you'll recognise his voice, you'll recognise his face when you see him as well. He's one of them well-known people across the tennis world. Listen, Rob, thank you so much for being on the show, and we wish you well for the rest of the tennis season.
Absolute pleasure, Connor. Enjoy the chat. Thanks, mate.
Thanks a million. You get yourself onto at Radio City Talk. You can follow Rob's work there. And you can follow all the... he's very insightful into the world of tennis as well. Everything from Roland Garros right down to what he thinks of what the McEnroe brothers are saying. Get on, have a little look, have a little read. And we'll hope to have him on again as the tennis season progresses.